Parshas Bo. Hashem told Moshe to warn Paroi about the eighth Makah Arba, locusts. Those are grasshoppers that Hashem is going to bring upon the Mitzrayim. Hashem said to Moshe, say to Paroi, doesn't someone who invites a guest usually try his best to help him in every possible way? But after you invited the Yidden as guests to your country, you talked them into serving you, and finally made them your slaves, and made them suffer so bitterly. I swear to you that you will taste that self-same bitterness for having so shamefully changed your ways towards the Yidden. Moshe and Aaron gave over Hashem's message to Paroi. They warned him, so says Hashem, God of the Hebrews, if you still do not let my people go, I will bring locusts into your land tomorrow. They shall eat up the wheat and spelt that were left over by the barad, by the hail. The locusts will fill your houses and the houses of your servants and all of Mitzrayim. It will be a makah the like of which was never experienced by your fathers and fathers' fathers. Now, Kindalach, while Moshe was giving over the message to Paroi, he noticed that Paroi's servants were looking at each other. They looked very worried. It seemed like they believed his words this time. Moshe then walked away for a while to give them a chance to discuss the matters among themselves and do teshuvah. The servant said to Paroi, be sensible! How long must this man continue to harm us? If this Makkah of locusts will come, we are bound to die from hunger. Set all the Jews free that they may worship their God. Don't you realize that Egypt is lost? Paroi immediately sent a messenger to bring Moshe and Aaron back to the palace. Paroi said to them, go serve your God. Who are the people who will go? Moshe answered, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our sheep and with our cattle. Just as all of us served you, so shall we all serve Hashem. But Paroi argued back, only men offer sacrifices to God. For what purpose you need these children? You must be planning to escape. I cannot listen to you. Do you think that your plan to take the Jews out to the Midbar will work? I am an expert astrologer. I know how to read the stars. And I see that the star Ra'ah is floating over the Jewish people in the desert. That star shows that there will be blood. That means that all the Jews will be killed out in the Midbar. Kindalach, when the Yidden heard Paroi's words, they trembled. In fact, Kindalach, Paroi was right when he saw that the star Ra'ah means blood for the Jewish people. But Paroi did not know that Hashem will change the blood of death to the blood of the mitzvah of Bris Milah, by commanding the Yidden to make a bris before they enter Eretz Yisrael. Paroi gave orders to drive Moshe and Aaron out of the palace. Hashem then told Moshe to stretch out his hand. Immediately, a mighty east wind began to blow. It continued blowing the entire day and night. At the end of the night, it brought swarms of locusts upon Mitzrayim. Yes, Kindalach, Hashem waited until the end of the night in the hope that the Mitzrayim might still change their minds and do teshuvah. Now, Kindalach, when the Mitzrayim saw clouds of locusts settling down on Mitzrayim, it did not make them sad at all. Just the opposite. They became very happy. They called out and said,
These locusts will make a delicious meal for us. Oh, we'll make jam out of it. We'll put them into barrels, salt them, and eat them.
Kindalach, the reason why they were so happy was because they were almost starving to death. The Maka of Dever got rid of all of their animals, so they had no more meat. The Maka of Barad destroyed all the fruits and vegetables, so they had nothing to eat at all. Now, when the locusts are coming, they were so happy they'll have something to eat. But, Kindalach, it wasn't like that at all. These locusts were not just plain, ordinary insects. They were an army of wonder insects. By miracle of Hashem, they had special parts to their body, which would wound and kill the Mitzrayim. They had teeth like iron, horns like those of oxen, claws like lions, wings like eagles, and backs like snakes. They sprang into the faces of the Mitzrayim and bored their eyes out with their claws. Their saliva, the spit of these insects, was deadly poison. Whenever it dripped upon a Mitzri, he immediately died. These locusts, Kindalach, never were full. Not only did they eat up all the trees and grass, but they even hopped into the Egyptians' houses and ate up their jewelry, their clothes, their precious things. There were so many of them that they darkened the sky. They covered the surface of the earth and stopped up all the wells. They ate up everything in Mitzrayim, so that by the end of this Makkah, there wasn't a single leaf or blade of grass left in Mitzrayim. Kindalach, why were the Mitzrayim given such a Makkah? Hashem was punishing them, Mida keneged Mida, a measure for a measure, for having forced the Yidden to work very hard in their fields. They made the Yidden work very hard in planting and in putting seeds into the ground. Now the locusts ate up all the fruits and vegetables that the Yidden planted for them. Another reason was, after the Makkah of Barad, the Mitzrayim believed that they would be able to eat the fruits that fell to the ground when the hailstones shattered the trees. Hashem therefore sent the locusts to eat up anything that was left, which was thrown to the ground by the hail. Parai quickly called Moshe and Aaron and admitted,
I sinned against Hashem your God and against you. Forgive me only this one time and pray to Hashem that he may relieve me from the locust which is going to make us starve to death.
When Moshe davened, Hashem brought a strong west wind, and with one big blow, it carried all of the locusts away and threw them into the Yam Suf. Even those locusts which the Mitzrayim had managed to collect and pickle them in the barrels, they all disappeared with the others. But Kindalach, once this Makkah was over, Hashem allowed Pari's heart to harden, and he did not let the Yidden go. Hashem commanded Moshe, stretch out your hand towards the Shemayim, and bring darkness over the land of Mitzrayim, a darkness so thick that it can be felt. Yes, Kindalach, this was the ninth Makkah of Choshech. When Moshe stretched out his hand, darkness covered the whole land of Mitzrayim, remaining for 6 continuous days. That's right, Kindalach. Not 7 days like the other Makkahs, but only 6. What did Hashem do with the 7th day of darkness? Hashem reserved it and put it away for the Mitzrayim when they're going to chase the Yidden at the Yam Suf. As we're going to learn in Parshas Beshalach, Hashem then would bring darkness to the Mitzrayim. That's why now Hashem brought them only 6 days of darkness. On the first 3 days, the Mitzrayim were able to move around freely in the dark. But Kindalach, no matter how many candles or torches they lit, the darkness was so strong that they could not see a thing. On the fourth day, Kindalach, the darkness became so thick that the Mitzrayim were no longer able to move. One who was standing had to remain in that position for the next 3 days, unable to sit down. And one who was sitting could no longer get up. Now, Kindalach, while the Mitzrayim were not able to move themselves, they heard the doors of their houses open and footsteps coming in. Who were these sounds from? They were the sounds of the Yidden coming into their houses. They were the sounds of cabinet drawers and doors being opened. But they were not able to get up to find out who it was. What were the Yidden doing there, Kindalach? Well, they were told by Moshe that when they're going to leave Mitzrayim, they should ask from all the Mitzrayim for gold and silver. They therefore went now to find out what precious things the Mitzrayim had, so later they will be able to ask the Mitzrayim and say, give me this golden thing which you have in this drawer, and this silver thing which you have in that drawer. But Kindalach, not a single Yid took even the smallest thing that was not his during the time of the Makkah of Choshech. All they did was look around the houses. Even the places that were locked up, even the closets that were closed up tight, the Yidden were able to see right through it. Yes, it was a miracle from Hashem. The Yidden were able to look right through the walls and see where all the hidden precious things are. Yes, Kindalach, even though it was so dark in the Mitzrayim, the Yidden were able to see even in the midst of the darkness, since every Yid was accompanied by a burst of light wherever he went. And you know, Kindalach, strange as it may seem, there was one thing that the Mitzrayim were able to see very clearly, even in the darkness. They saw what was happening in the land of Goshen. They watched pictures of the Yidden projected as if by a video camera, sitting around tables, eating, drinking, and having a happy time. When the Mitzrayim saw this, they became very unhappy. Now, Kindalach, why were the Mitzrayim plunged into darkness while the Yidden enjoyed light? Well, the Mitzrayim were being punished mida keneged mida for one of their very bad things that they did to the Yidden. An Egyptian would order a Jew, hold this burning candle on your head while I eat supper, but hold it straight. One move, and your head will be split with this sword. And the poor trembling Yid had to stand without making a move with the candle on his head while the Egyptian enjoyed his meal. Now Hashem is just changing the things around, causing the Mitzrayim to remain without a move while the Yidden were enjoying themselves. The darkness also was a sign, Kindalach, that the Mitzrayim had chosen for themselves a life of darkness, while the Yidden had accepted upon themselves the Torah from Hashem and the mitzvahs, which are compared to light. Therefore, the Yidden now had real light. Paray called Moshe and Aaron and cried, go serve Hashem! You may take your little children with you also, but leave your animals behind. Then we know for sure that you will return. No, answered Moshe. We will take all our animals with us. Also those animals that belong to both, to a Yid and a Mitzri, those animals too will come with us. Moreover, you will give us of your own animals, for we don't know yet how many sacrifices
Hashem will ask from us for his service. Kindalach, Pare realized from Moshe's answer that Moshe obeyed only Hashem and did not pay attention whatsoever to the words of Pare, even though Pare said that he is the master of the universe. Pare shouted angrily, "Go away from here, and beware of appearing before me again, for on the day you will return to see my face, you shall die." "Well spoken," answered Moshe. "I will indeed not return here to see you. Hashem told me that I will never again come to see you, but instead, you will come to see me." Yes, Kindalach, as we're going to see later by the 10th Makkah, Pare is the one who came to see Moshe, to beg Moshe to take all the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Now, Kindalach, since Moshe had announced to Pare that he would never again return to him, Hashem appeared to Moshe before Moshe left Pare's palace. And Hashem instructed Moshe to warn Pare about the last Makkah. Yes, Kindalach, this was the only time that Hashem showed himself to Moshe in Pare's palace, even though it was full of Getchkes. It happened only in the honor of Moshe, in order to fulfill his promise that he would not return to see Pare again. Hashem said to Moshe, "I will bring one more Makkah upon Pare, which will be as bad as all of the other Makkahs put together. After this Makkah, not only will he allow you to leave, but he will actually send you out of his country." Hashem told Moshe that the next Makkah will be Makas Bechayreis, where Hashem will kill all the firstborn of the Mitzrayim. And Moshe gave over this message to Pare. Moshe warned Pare and said, "So says Hashem, about midnight, I will go out in the middle of Mitzrayim, and I will kill every Bechayr, every firstborn of the Mitzrayim, from the crown prince down to the lowliest of the Mitzrayim, the firstborn of the maid behind the millstones, and even the firstborn of the animals. This is going to bring screaming and crying, which will be even worse than anything that was ever heard before or anything that will ever be heard in the future." Then Moshe told Pare, "All of your ministers will then come to me." Moshe pointed at the ministers who stood next to Pare. "This general here next to you, and this duke, and your nobles, they will all come to me. They will all bow to me and beg us to leave." Kindalach, even though Moshe knew that even Pare himself would bow to him and beg him to leave, Moshe did not say that to him directly, since Hashem had commanded him to be respectful towards the Egyptian king. An old Egyptian woman came out to laugh at Moshe.
"How can the outcry after this Makkah be as terrible as you say? Take me, for example. I no longer have a father or a mother who could be killed. My brothers and sisters passed away already, and my only son is dead. I will not be affected by this Makkah in any way. What you are saying, Moshe, is not true."
"You will be the first one to cry out," Moshe answered. It was on the first day of Nisan, Kindalach, and Hashem instructed Moshe and Aharon, "You will be freed from Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan. Count this month, therefore, as the first of all the months in the Jewish calendar." Yes, Kindalach, even though the birthday of the world was really Yom Tishrei, that's when Hashem created the world, yet, Kindalach, a new period in history began as the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. And since then, Nisan deserved to become the first of the months. Hashem said to Moshe, For 2,448 years, I have proclaimed every new month in heaven. I announced when is Rosh Chodesh. But now that you have become a nation, you will be the one to announce when is Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of each month. Yes, Kinderlach, Hashem explained to Moshe and Aharon that the Beis Din, the Yiddish court, would be in charge of deciding when is the beginning of a new month. And this would depend on the report of two witnesses, two Yidden who have seen how the new moon appeared in the sky. Yes, Kinderlach, that's how we know when it's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh means the beginning of a new moon. Every month, the moon begins from very, very small, and then becomes bigger and bigger each night. When we look up into the sky at night, in the beginning of the month, we see that the moon is very small, and night after night, it gets bigger and bigger, until the 15th day of the month, when we see a full, bright, shining moon. Then, Kinderlach, it starts to become smaller, night after night, from the 15th day until the end of the month, it gets smaller and smaller, and at the last moment of the month, you see nothing at all. It's completely dark. That marks the end of one month, and then, when we see the first shine of light of the new moon, that marks the beginning of the new month. That's called Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the new month. And that's why the judges would wait until two witnesses would come and tell them that they saw the first shine of the light of the new moon. And then the judges would announce that it is Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of a new month. Now, Kinderlach, Moshe wasn't able to see so clearly how the moon was supposed to look like in order to be called Rosh Chodesh. He asked Hashem for an explanation. Hashem said to Moshe, I will show you how it's to be done. Hashem wrapped himself, as it were, in a talis, like the judge, placed Moshe on one side and Aaron on the other. Hashem called the Malachim, Michael and Gavriel, as witnesses. And Hashem asked the Malachim, in which position did you see the moon? In front of the sun or behind it? To the north or south of it? How high was it? Yes, Kinderlach, this is how Hashem taught Moshe and Aharon. Hashem said, this is the manner how the Beis Din should question the witnesses, in order to proclaim a new month. As soon as the Beis Din on earth would make its decision when is Rosh Chodesh, announcing, for example, that today is Rosh Hashanah, I will follow its decision, and I will set up my heavenly court to judge the world on that day. Yes, Kinderlach, this was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh that Hashem told Moshe and Aharon on the first day of Nisan. Hashem also gave Moshe and Aharon more mitzvahs on this day. Hashem told Moshe and Aharon to tell the Yidden about the Karban Pesach. Tell the Yidden today that on the 10th day of Nisan, the head of each family shall take a lamb, a shepsela. It should be a zachar, that is, a boy shepsela, which is complete and healthy without any blemish, and less than 1 year old. He should tie the shepsela to his bedpost for 4 days in order to check it over to make sure that it is healthy and complete, fit for a carbon. In the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, that is, Erev Pesach, one of the family should shecht the lamb for a Karban Pesach. Moshe asked Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, how can I command the Yidden to shecht sheep, which is the Getchka of Mitzrayim? Hashem answered, I swear that the Yidden will not leave this land unless they will first shecht the Getchkas of Mitzrayim, showing them how their Getchkas have no power and can't even help themselves. Hashem then gave Moshe and Aaron more instructions about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. After shechting the lamb, you should let its blood flow into a basin, a shisel. Dip a bundle of azov grass into it, and place some of the blood on the two doorposts and on the part on top of the door of the house in which the Korban Pesach will be eaten. Kindelach, why did Hashem command that they dip the azov grass into blood? Hashem was showing the Yidden that even though the Mitzrayim consider you lowly like the azov grass, in my eyes, you are precious. And why did the blood have to be placed on the part on top of the door and on the two doorposts? Well, the top part is for Avraham, and the two doorposts are for Yitzchak and Yaakov, showing the Yidden that it is in the schus of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that the Yidden would be saved from Makas Bechoris. Hashem commanded, the meat of the Korban Pesach shall be eaten on the night of the 15th of Nisan, that is, Kindelach, the first night of Pesach. It must be roasted over a fire, and then eaten together with matzos and marer. All of it must be eaten and finished by morning. If any part of the Korban Pesach is left over, it must be burned on the morning of the second day, that is, the day after Yom Tov. You shall eat the Korban Pesach in a hurry, after finishing your meal, and have your traveling stick in hand, all prepared to leave immediately from Mitzrayim. Our Chachamim tell us, Kindelach, that all the foods that are eaten on the night of Pesach remind us of our avos. The lamb is roasted over a fire, reminding us of Avraham, who was saved from the burning furnace. The matzahs remind us of Sarah, who baked matzahs for her guests, the three malachim. The marer reminds us of Yaakov, who suffered so bitterly from his brother Esav, and from other sufferings during his lifetime. Furthermore, the bitter marer reminds us of the suffering of the Yidden in Mitzrayim, when the Mitzrayim embittered their lives. Kindelach, why did Hashem command that the lamb for the Korban Pesach be roasted over a fire rather than cooked in a pot? And why did it have to be prepared whole and not cut up into pieces? Well, Kindelach, Hashem wanted to show everyone that it was the lamb and not any other animal, that is, the Getchka of Mitzrayim, that is being shechted here. That is also why Hashem commanded that it should not be cooked, because cooking is usually done in a covered pot, where people cannot see what's being cooked. But roasting over a fire is for everyone to see. Also, a food that's roasted gives off a stronger smell than cooked food. This is also why it was roasted whole, to make sure that everyone can see that it is a lamb. The fire is to show that the Torah commands that a Getchka must be burnt in fire. This is also one of the reasons why the Korban Pesach was to be eaten at the end of the meal, when everyone is already full and not hungry, in order to show how much we do not like the Getchkes of Mitzrayim. Hashem explained to Moshe and Aaron that this korban is called Korban Pesach, meaning that Hashem will jump over, as the word Pesach, Kindelach, means to jump and pass over. Yes, Hashem will pass over the houses of the Yidden when Hashem will see the blood on their doorposts and on the part on top of the door, and he will save the firstborn of the Yidden from being killed when the firstborn of the Mitzrayim would die. Now, Kindelach, Hashem didn't really need this sign to know the difference between the houses of the Yidden from the Mitzrayim. It was rather in order that the Yidden, from their part, show openly to everyone that the Getchkes of Mitzrayim is worthless, and that the Yidden belong to those who follow Hashem. In doing so, they showed that they deserve to be saved. Now, Kindelach, in addition to the laws of Karban Pesach, Hashem commanded that the 15th day of Nisan should be a Yom Tov every year, that is, the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Yidden would have to remove all chametz from their houses on the day before Pesach, that is, on the 14th of Nisan, and keep their houses free of chametz for the next 7 days. The Yidden were also commanded to eat the Korban Pesach each year on the night of the 15th of Nisan, that is, the first night of Pesach, as a remembrance forever of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Then Kindelach, Moshe Rabbeinu, told the Yidden about all of the mitzvahs connected to the Korban Pesach. Moshe also said to them, "When you enter Eretz Yisrael, and your children will ask you, what is the meaning of the Korban Pesach that we are bringing on the 14th day of Nisan, you should say to your children, it is a Korban Pesach to Hashem who passed over our houses in Mitzrayim and saved us." When the Yidden heard the words of Moshe, they bowed their heads and thanked Hashem, since they understood the importance of Moshe's message. They understood that they would soon be freed, they would enter Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem would bench them with children. Now, Kindelach, just as Hashem has commanded, the head of each Yiddish family tied a lamb to his bedpost on the 10th day of Nisan. When the Mitzrayim saw how the Yidden were preparing their getchkes for a carbon, they cried. Yes, seeing their getchke being treated this way made the Mitzrayim feel so bad. They felt even worse than they felt during all the makas. But Kindelach, the Mitzrayim did not dare to harm the Yidden. The day that this happened was a Shabbos. And in memory of that great Shabbos when the Yidden openly dragged the Getchke of Mitzrayim and brought it into their houses for a Korban Pesach, and the Mitzrayim did not harm them, we call that Shabbos, which is the Shabbos before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, the great Shabbos. On the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach, Hashem explained to Moshe and Aaron the conditions that must be fulfilled before anyone eats any part of the Korban Pesach. Hashem said, "The Korban Pesach may be eaten only by a Yid who follows the ways of Torah, and not by anyone else, and of course not a Goy. Also, it may not be eaten by a Ger Toshav, that is a Goy who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and follows the 7 mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, or by a Goy who was hired to work for a Yid. They are not allowed to eat any part of the Korban Pesach. Also, it may not be eaten by anyone who did not have a Bris Milah. That means that even a Yid, if for any reason he has not yet had a Bris Milah, he cannot eat from the Korban Pesach." Yes, Kindelach, as our Chachamim say, it's just like the king who made a big party in his own honor. He instructed his servants, "Admit to the palace only those who wear my special badge." Yes, Kindelach,
The Bris Milah is our special sign of our special connection with Hashem. That's what Moshe told the Yidden. Only one who has the seal of the promise that Hashem made with Avraham, the Bris Milah, only he may taste of the Korban Pesach. The Bris Milah is the sign which shows that we are Hashem's servants. Now, Kinelach, our Chachamim tell us of a story of a guy who used to travel to Yerushalayim and eat of the Korban Pesach, making believe that he was a Yid. It happened once that this guy came to the town of Nitzivin in Bavel, which is far away from Eretz Yisrael. And he boasted before Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, "Your Torah says that no stranger or person who did not have a bris is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Yet, I get the best part of the Korban Pesach every year in Yerushalayim." When Rabbi Yehuda heard this, Rabbi Yehuda wanted to punish this man, but he had no power how to punish him. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said to the guy, "Were you ever given the fat tail of the lamb?"
"Never."
"Aha, you see? They didn't give you the best part of the lamb. That part the Yidden keep for themselves. Next time you are in Yerushalayim, ask for the fat tail." When the guy traveled back to Yerushalayim for next Pesach, and as usual, was handed a portion of the Korban Pesach, he said,
"I don't want to have this portion, I want the tail."
"Impossible," answered the one in charge of giving out the meat. "How can we do such a thing?"
"What? Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra told me that you are holding back from me the best part of the Korban Pesach. I pay as much as you do. Why should you take it for yourself?"
When the Yidden heard the words of this guy, whom they thought was a Yid, everyone who studies Torah knows that the tail may not be eaten by anyone. That is brought on the Mizbeach and is burnt as a carbon for Hashem. Now since this man asked for the tail, they suddenly started to think that maybe this man is not even a Yid. They started to find out more and more until, yes, they found out that he was a guy. As a punishment, the Beis Din killed him. Yes, Kindalach, the guy was caught by the smart plan of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. The Beis Din then sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda to thank him for his trick. They said, "Peace unto you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who lives all the way far away in Nitzivin, and yet his net is spread out to catch the bad people all the way out as far as Yerushalayim." Yes, Kindalach, that's what Hashem says in the Torah, that only a Yid and one that has a Bris Milah is allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. This also reminds us of another story that our Chachamim tell us about the great king Antoninus, who was a guy, but he was very friendly to the Yidden. Especially, he was a good friend with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the leader of the Yidden. Antoninus once asked his friend Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi,
"Will I receive a portion of the special delicious Livyason fish when Mashiach comes?"
His question meant, "Will the good Goyim have a share in Olam Haba?" Rabbi Yehuda answered him, "Yes."
"Well, how is this possible?" Antoninus asked Rabbi Yehuda. "I know that I'm not allowed to eat any of the Korban Pesach. If so, why will I be permitted to eat of the flesh of the Livyason fish, which is even holier?"
Rabbi Yehuda explained him, "About the Korban Pesach, I cannot do anything for you. Even the greatest tzaddik may not eat of the Korban Pesach if he did not have a Bris Milah, because the Torah says that only someone with a Bris Milah may share in it." When Antoninus then
heard about the greatness of the mitzvah of milah. He himself became a ger, making a bris milah for himself. Yes, Kindalach, Antoninus then became a yid, and he will be at the head of all the Gedei Tzedek, the true Gedim, who will be rewarded in Olam Haba. Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon that before shechting the Korban Pesach, they must first join and get together a group of Yidden, who will all eat part of this Korban Pesach. Once the Korban Pesach is shechted, no outsider will be allowed to join in. Also, not one bone of the Korban Pesach was allowed to be broken. After finishing the meal and eating the Korban Pesach, the Yidden had to take all the bones that was left over and take them the way they are and throw them into the marketplaces in front of the eyes of the Mitzrayim. They should see what happened to their getchkes. Now, Kindalach, when Moshe commanded the Yidden to make sure they all have a bris milah in order to eat the Korban Pesach, there were many Yidden who did not want to make the bris milah. Hashem therefore told Moshe to roast his own Korban Pesach immediately. Hashem then took the winds of Gan Eden and attached it to the smell of the carbon, causing its smell to spread out throughout Mitzrayim. The smell was so sweet that the Yidden all streamed to Moshe begging him, "Please let us eat of your Korban Pesach." But Hashem commanded Moshe and Aaron to allow only those Yidden who had a bris milah. Then Kindalach, all the Yidden, without exception, immediately agreed to have a bris milah. Who made their bris? That was Moshe and his Talmud Yehoshua. Now, Kindalach, not only did the Yidden make a bris milah, but a large number of Mitzrayim, known as Erevrav, who wished to join the Yidden, they also made the mitzvah of bris milah and became gedim in order to eat part of the Korban Pesach. And now, Kindalach, the Yidden had already two mitzvahs in which schos they will deserve to be redeemed and freed from Mitzrayim. What are the two mitzvahs? The blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of their bris milah, both of which showed that they are the servants of Hashem.